So as we welcome Andy, we're going to pray for him, and then we're going to listen to what he has to say to us tonight. So Andy, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for Andy and for lending him to us tonight. We ask that you will anoint him, that you will speak through him to each one of us, Lord, and will you make us and him really sensitive to your spirit, and will you take what he has prepared and multiply that by thousands. May we hear from you directly through Andy tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you very much. You'll notice I have very little voice. So if you're going to pray and get tired during the talk, just keep praying that I carry on the whole way through, because my throat is very sore and I have very little voice left. Look, there are some outlines. I don't know if they're coming around, Alan, or... Yeah. I think they were at the back. Sue, I think you might be sat on them. I'm very sorry. No? Someone. They're around anyway. The guys are going to distribute them around. The passage is printed on there. It's kind of a new version of the Bibles you got in front of you, but ignore that. Just look at your Bibles. And there's 3 points at the bottom. If you want to make notes, I generally do make notes and do little crosswords that say, no, I don't. I make notes, and it's kind of helpful to keep concentrating. Look, I gather you're in the middle of a series here called Eternally Mindful, Living with a Long View. And I don't know if you, as Alan was telling me about this just last week, I just thought how wonderfully provident and kind of God, given the circumstances and the weight of loss, which I guess you will be feeling right now, how provident and kind of God to place you in a series investigating, looking into his word, which helps you fix your eyes not on the current weight, but rather on the eternal glory to come. Do you notice how kind God is? Isn't it wonderful? And so as we pray tonight, I'm going to pray in a moment again, because I need it and I like praying. But as we pray in a moment, just recognize, one, the kindness of God, and two, also the nonchalance that sometimes you can approach the Bible. That is, I bet as soon as Alwyn read that first line, most of you went, I know that one. That means I can switch off and think about Strictly. No. God can speak, and he longs to speak through his word and by his spirit. So let's pray that that happens for each of us this evening. Should we pray again? Covenant faithful Lord, forgive us, I pray, when our hearts and our minds are not focused on you and the glory to come. We are secular. We think so much about our time now and our life now. And Heavenly Father, for all the weight that we are feeling presently, please, I pray that as we come before you in your word, please speak to us. Please work by your spirit and drive these words into our fragile hearts, that we might know you better, that we might understand our lives more clearly, and that we might have right expectations for life now, and day by day as we live our lives until we meet you face to face. Amen. So we're in this series called Eternally Mindful, Living Day by Day with That Long View. And I just want to provoke you at the beginning slightly and just say, well, how on earth are you going to do that? Do you have any clue? You see, how are you going to go to work tomorrow if you're a working person, and work in a way that is eternally mindful, working that is in a way that is defined by the eternity to come rather than the competitive work environment in which you find yourself? Oh, if you're not in the working environment, how are you going to go through the next week? Family life, it's messy, isn't it? School life, it's horrible sometimes. How are you going to go through all of those things? The pains, the frustrations, the losses, the disappointments. When everything's so overwhelmingly weighty in your life, how are you going to live being eternally mindful? Well, how are you going to do that? The answer's in that verse 1 of your passage. Look at Psalm 23, verse 1. It simply says, the Lord's a shepherd. If you want an answer to the questions that I've just raised to you, oh, it's not a complete answer, and you're probably frustrated by it, but it's certainly a good place to start. Three quick points from the passage. They're written on your sheets down there. I hope it's helpful. It might kind of help you plot the course as we go through these verses. oh, you can ignore them, that's fine. Make a paper aeroplane, I don't care, but it might be helpful. It's helped me a little bit as I've been looking at these few days. Look at it. The Lord is my shepherd. If you want to be eternally mindful, the best place to start is knowing about and understanding who God is. And what's he going to do? Well, he's going to lead you as sheep. That's the illustration used here. Thirdly, where is he going to lead you? He's going to lead you blessing. If you dare to trust him. Well, that's where we're going. Let's cast our eyes down. Look at verse 1. It's really interesting, isn't it? The Lord's my shepherd. On the translation on your sheets, it says, I lack nothing. But if you go back to the Bibles in front of you, it says, I shall not be in want. It's saying the same thing, just the other way. But I don't think you believe it. Really? Are you saying that you wake up tomorrow morning and you feel like you lack nothing? What do you daydream about? Do you really think that you lack nothing, given what you daydream about? I'm sorry, life isn't like that, is it? It doesn't work that way so often. If you've lost a job, if you've lost a loved one, if you've lost your home, you've lost. How does it feel? It feels like you lack loads. Is that reality? Well, let's just unpick this a little bit. Well, firstly, let's look at the shepherd thing. Who is being referred to as a shepherd? It's the Lord. And notice how the Lord is written down there. What is it? It's in capitals, isn't it? Why? It's written in capitals, and I'm sure, and I'm not going to patronize you, you know this, I'm sure. Because in the original language of that the Bible is written, that simply means it's referring to God's covenant name, which is Yahweh. Now, God's referred to as a whole bunch of names in the Bible. You'll know these, you sing them in songs all the time. You know, El Shaddai, which means Lord God Almighty. El Elyon, which means the Lord Most High. Adonai, which means Lord is the Master. God is referred to in a whole bunch of ways to describe his nature and his character. But why does it matter? Well, is it just like me? I've got a son called Zach. He's 12 years old, okay? Does it mean I call him Zach most of the time? When he's obviously bad, I call him Zachary. When he's really bad, I call him Zachary Joseph Max. And go for his full name. Some of his mates call him Zachy. Now, is it just like that? Is that all it is? You know, I'm picking a particular name. Is that, you know, how the God just pluck a name for God out of the sky and I'll call him that? Is that what's going on here? The Lord is my shepherd. Let me, if you can, just flick back in your Bibles with me. Just back to Psalm 19. Let me show you how God's names are used and what they mean. So go back to Psalm 19. It's only a couple of pages back, page 552. And you'll see there that the Psalm 19 begins. It says, the heavens declare what? The glory of God. Now that word is the most generic word for in the Hebrew language for God. It's El. It's really simple. That is, what that verse is telling you is, as you look at the creation around you, as you watch a sunset go down, that reveals something to you about God, but in the most general sense. You kind of got the idea there's something bigger out there. Okay? Look down, though, to verse 7 of chapter 19. What does it say there? The law of who? The Lord, capitals. The law of Yahweh. The personal covenant name of God is perfect. Do you see the point? The Bible is the law, the precepts, the commandments, all those words used in Psalm 19, reveal something to us about God that means that we can be in a personal covenant relationship with him. Oh, the sun rising tells us something about God, but it doesn't tell us everything. It doesn't tell us how we can be in an eternal relationship with God. We can know something as we watch a sunset, and it makes us go, what? It makes us go, wow. But as you turn to God in the Word, in the Bible, the precepts, the commandments, the laws, and so on, as you turn there, yes, that'll make you go, wow. But so much more. Because it reveals God to us in a way that we can then have a personal, eternal, covenant relationship with him. So flip back to Psalm 23 if you can. When it says, the Lord is my shepherd, Yahweh is my shepherd, I lack nothing. David is singing there, it's a song, remember, about the personal, eternal relationship he has with God, the Lord Yahweh. So we see God, the Lord, is Yahweh there. What does that mean, though? I've said a few kind of words, kind of Christian cliches. I've chucked them out there, haven't I? It's his covenant name, which basically means he has made a covenant. Is a bunch of promises that God has made to his people that has bound those who trust him with him for eternity. This is a song about the Lord who has bound his people to him for eternity. It's about Yahweh. Who is what? Let's go on. He's a shepherd, isn't he? We see that? Now, I'm going to, later, just in a moment, essentially walk you through what the shepherd looks like. It kind of comes in the following verses. But just for a moment, because I'm aware that Christmas is approaching. Yes, I've seen carols already playing and, you know, the trees are up. So just be aware that your view of shepherd is probably absolutely rubbish. Because you're thinking of tea towel. You're thinking of fluffy sheep, aren't you? And just this kind of gentle, you know, like nativity plays. You usually pick the biggest, you know, kind of guy in the congregation to walk in with a tea towel on his head. You know, it's probably your dad or something like that, you know. You know it is. And they walk in, they look a bit silly, and it's this gentle giant of a figure. Oh, forget it. We'll come to it in a moment, but be careful. The Lord is a shepherd, and we'll come to see what that looks like. David makes it very personal, doesn't he? Look what he says in verse 1. The Lord is whose shepherd? It's my shepherd. Note that privilege. You can call God my shepherd. You can sing it here. If you have trusted in the promises of God, revealed through his word, the Lord is your shepherd. Personal. Possessive nature of that word helps us understand our relationship with God, doesn't it? What does it mean? He's got his eyes on you. And he loves you. And he'll take you home. Here comes the tricky bit, though. I lack nothing, or I shall not be in want. Oh, the point here is, if we trust the Lord as our shepherd, is it that we'll get everything we want? We'll get everything we desire. My son, I was telling you earlier, is called Zachary. He rather likes Skittles. I don't know if he likes Skittles. We were walking through Sainsbury. Yeah, you clearly do. You've got a big smile. We're walking through Sainsbury's. You know those kind of Christmas boxes? They're all putting them up. They're stacking them up now. You know, you get the Quality Street. You get various other things. You buy them for your grandma and all that kind of stuff. They started making one of these big plastic boxes full of Skittles. You couldn't believe how big the smile on my son's face was the other day as we walked past this and said, he was like, Dad, I have to have one of those. I need it. I absolutely must have it. I don't care what you do. Give me a Christmas. I'm having one of those and I will gorge on it. You know, so he says, that's my desire. That's not the point here. The point is, being sheep of our shepherd Lord, we'll never lack from anything that we need. Not the things we want. We'll never lack from anything that we need. And I think if there's anything that you leave today with, that you're going to have to sing tomorrow and the following day for every day of your life, as we live in a culture which is defined by its desires, and it's just gut instincts to say, I want that, I want that, I want that. And if they're not met, what do people do? They say, I'm not complete, I'm not satisfied. Oh, hard done by me. I'll blame you. As sheep of our Lord, who is a shepherd, we can sing that we lack nothing. Why? Because he will provide everything you need. No, not everything you want, but he will provide everything you need. And that is really, really, really hard when the circumstances of our lives punch us in the stomach. And you cannot fathom why God would allow such a thing to happen in your life. But let me very gently, as much as I can, say to you, the song is the same. We trust in the Lord our shepherd, and therefore we will lack nothing. If you know your needs will be met, it's really interesting, isn't it? If you know that you're going to be satisfied in the Lord's provision for you in your lives, it's interesting, isn't it, that you'll find that your wants become a much quieter song in your life. Oh, the Lord's my shepherd, I lack nothing. It's great, though, isn't it, that God isn't a passive God. He doesn't sort of sit there twiddling his thumbs. Look what he does. Second point, the Lord leads his sheep. Look at verse 2 and 3 with me. Let me refresh our minds as I read those verses. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Oh, you would have spotted, I'm sure, many of you, the language of verse 2 and 3, much like the language of Exodus, the second book of the Bible. You know the story. When God's people are taken out of slavery in Egypt, what does he do? He leads. He refreshes. He guides. Oh, the song is clear, isn't it? Who's the one that gives new life? Who's the one who's in control? Oh, are you deceiving yourself? Do you think you are? You silly. The Lord makes you lie down. The Lord leads. The Lord refreshes your soul. The Lord guides. Don't resist that. It's amazing. Be thankful. You might not understand it the whole time, but be grateful. God loves you so much. He knows you so well that he's going to provide for every single one of your needs. And he leads you to this refreshing new life as you trust his promises. And he guides you. How? Well, by his word and by his spirit working together so that your paths may be straight or righteous as we see here. Do you ever find yourself getting in a bit of a pickle in life? Yeah. Anyone over the age of about 20 kind of realizes, yes, we all do. It's interesting, isn't it? We so often get into a mess in our own lives when we go off script. We start following our feelings. We start following our kind of gut instincts, our carnal desires, or the crowd around us, rather than listening to our Lord, the shepherd who is leading us and offering refreshment. It takes time, isn't it, to hear God speak like that? It's amazing how many of us would just sort of go, "Oh, I'm a bit busy in the morning. I've pressed snooze about 5 times too many in the morning." And you can't be bothered to get open your Bibles and spend some time with the Lord in prayer. What happens to you? You start listening to yourself rather than God. He can't lead you. The Lord has given you his way of leading you. It would be rather arrogant to think that you know a better way. But I often think that. As we see in verse 4, it doesn't just apply for the good times, it applies for the difficult times as well. Look at verse 4. Even though I walk through either the darkest valley or the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and staff, they comfort me. See, whatever sense of sadness, whatever sense of loss, whatever frustration in your life, and be honest, you are frustrated about something. Disappointed about something. However dark and deep that valley that you are walking through right now, well, if you know that God, he's your Lord and shepherd, listen to the truth. You've got nothing to fear. Why? Well, does God promise that he will take away all of your pain, all of your frustration, all of the sadness that you're feeling right now? No, it does not. Not yet. But David clings to two promises of God. And let me suggest we do likewise. Firstly, he recognizes that God is with him. It's amazing, isn't it, how you spot a good friend? Many of you have got good friends. When you go through a tough time, what does a good friend do? Everyone else comes round and they try to fix you. And that's really just a selfish way of self-satisfaction for them. They want to come around and say, how can I possibly stop you crying? How can I possibly get you into this situation rather than this awful situation you find yourself now? I want to fix you. What does a good friend do? A good friend is just with you. They're just with you. It's a great assurance of God, isn't it? That wherever we go, however dark and sad and difficult our lives may be, and I guess anyone under the age of 14 is thinking, that's not my life now, but it will be. Get ready. At times, lots of good stuff as well. But you'll hit some bad times and difficult times. And know this, God is with you. He's there by his spirit in your heart right now if you know and trust him. Secondly, God is with you. Secondly, God will comfort you. But it's interesting. What comforts David in this shepherd analogy? Have you spotted it? It's extraordinary, isn't it? It's interesting, the rod and the staff of the shepherd are the comfort. I'll just go to one of those. But the rod, for example, what was the rod used for a shepherd? It's pretty hard. It's used to strike a sheep to make sure they get in line. It would have been painful for the sheep. But the shepherd would have used his rod to do that. Please be clear. Have the right expectations. God never promises you a life of ease. And he will use all the sadness and all the pain and all the frustrations of this life, all the rod-like experiences of this life, to get you on the right path. Because he loves you. Take comfort in the fact that our Lord will be there in both the highs and the lows, in all the joys, as much as the sorrows as well. Don't be discouraged. Take comfort in it. And the fact that he will control and he will lead you. But where? As we finish, last couple of verses. We've seen the Lord is a shepherd. He leads his sheep, second point. And these last couple of verses, where does he lead? Lord blesses those who trust him. Let me read verse 5 and 6 again. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord for a little bit. No, forever. Notice the scene change, okay? Previously it was about food and water for sheep. Now we've been brought into a picture of a banquet. And it's for people like you and me. The image is lavish as well. It's a lavish banquet. The anointing of oil would be on someone's head, either to prepare them for a banquet or the end of a banquet. And it would be to honor them as a guest. But again, it's lavish. It's overflowing such that the cup overflows from the oil off the head. The covenant Lord here is shepherd. And he's leading his people to lavish blessing. Oh, here's the question. When? Are we blessed now? Or is this pointing us to blessings to come in eternity? Or is it a bit of both? Should we do an ABC standing up? No, it's all right. We'll do that. Oh, look at verse 5 there. You prepare at the beginning of there. It shows us, there's a bit of waiting going on. Preparation is going on now. But it also says, in the presence of my enemies. And given that there'll be no enemies in the eternity that we are with God, then surely it's a bit of both. Verse 6 speaks about all the days of my life, which is life now. But at the end of verse 6, he says, what? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, which is a kind of eternal language again. What's his point? Blessings are now, but they will be greater and continue for eternity. The language of the lavish banquet is used to show that we can now and will forever enjoy fellowship. We'll enjoy communion, if you like, with God. At a banquet in those days, you would have laid down beside the person. There'd been a lot of contact as well. You know, you'd be with them, eating with them, and these kind of banquets would go on for days, some of them. It's intimate. It's close. It's a picture of fellowship and communion with God. It isn't the promise, just so you know, and I have to remind myself every day of this, it's not the promise of a Porsche 911 right now. Shame. But it wouldn't be good for me. But it is a picture of something infinitely better. Fellowship with God, our Lord, which is the greatest blessing of all. Do you know? Do you know this Lord, Yahweh, the shepherd? Well, if you do, then be comforted and assured that he will lead you every single moment of your life until there are no more moments, because you'll be outside of time in eternity. Every day that you can know that you'll have blessing and fellowship with him as you hear him speak through his word and as you pray to him as Father and enjoy that intimate relationship which he has secured for you in his Son. But one day when all days end, you will know that blessing, the greatest blessing of relationship with God that you've got a foretaste of now. It's like the canapes at the beginning of a big meal. You know, those little kind of tiny things that come out. They're like mouthfuls, aren't they? It's nothing in comparison to the banquet to come. Think of all the blessing that will be to be with God face to face for eternity. Well, if you are here and you aren't a Christian, well, this is kind of applied for both, really. But yeah, if you're a Christian or if you're not a Christian, can I just end with this, if I may? David's singing a song here. Yeah, we get that. Psalm is a song. He's declaring a truth about God that he knew and he experienced. God was his shepherd, and he was leading him through the good and the bad to bless him. I don't know. Do you know? Right now, you are far more privileged than even King David. Do you realize that? Because about 1,000 years after this was penned, King David was writing this song. Another man spoke of God as a shepherd, but this man said, oh, I am that shepherd. And he said, I'm the good shepherd. Do you know that guy's name? He was called Jesus. I hope you know him. And in one of his autobiographical kind of stories in John's Gospel, John 10, he declares, he says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. See, what David sings here in Psalm 23 has been totally and utterly fulfilled in the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He leads us. How? Through his word and by his spirit. He defeats all of our enemies as he was nailed to a cross. And he offers us new life, eternal life, for any of us who would dare to trust him. How does he do that? As he rises to new life in the resurrection. As I close, can I just say this? If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, trust him. Trust Jesus as the Good Shepherd, and he will lead you, and he will love you, and he will comfort you, and he'll take you home. Let's pray as we close. Heavenly Father, please forgive us. We all, at times, trust ourselves far too much. We trust our feelings, whether they're joyful or they're sad. We trust our gut instincts. Help us with all of our waking moments to trust you, recognizing that you are a shepherd, and in trusting you, we will lack nothing. Lord, you'll lead us through the good and the bad, the difficult and the just wonderful. But you'll lead us and bless us every moment. until an eternal blessing meets us as we see you face to face. Well, the only way that we can know that is through the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. May we trust him with our lives and also with our deaths. I ask this in his name. Amen.